You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
The NBA playoffs are upon us. We've got the play-in first. We've got the playoffs coming up shortly thereafter. And we've got teams who have made mistakes in really setting themselves up for success. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. We started today talking about the idea that a team like the Knicks made a horrible mistake yesterday by beating the Bulls and going as hard out as they did because they end up in the second seed and they're going to end up playing the winner of the Heat and the Sixers, which means to me that they're going to end up playing the 76ers, and that's a bad matchup for the Knicks over a seven-game series. But then you've got, Joe, the Lakers, who Greeny suggested it was a bad idea for the Lakers, or is a bad idea for the Lakers, to try to go out and win in their first play-in game so that they could avoid the Nuggets. If they win, they get the Nuggets in the first round. If they lose and they get the eighth seed, they end up getting the Thunder in the first round. That I understand to be remarkably silly versus what I proposed, which makes all the sense in the world because one's about a seven-game series and one is about throwing one of two opportunities at a playoff win or a play-in win out the window.
Yeah, I think the job is to win. You go out and you win. Teams in front of you, you try to win that game. I don't think you lay down because you're looking for an easier path, whether it's your suggestion or Greenberg's suggestion. I don't think you want that mindset creeping into your culture. I think you want to be a culture of champions. And if you're going to build a culture of champions, it's going to be about winning first and foremost. That's what Tom Brady's about, right? That's what Max Verstappen's about. That's what Kobe Bryant was about. You never heard those guys talking about rolling over and dying so that they could set up an easier path. Like, imagine Tom Brady trying to lose a game late in the season so he could avoid Peyton Manning. That's why we're here on radio and he's the greatest of all time, because he'll go head to head with Mahomes. He'll go head to head with Peyton Manning. Like, guys like that, they relish those opportunities. They don't run from them. That's what Cleveland's doing. They're running from it. That's what Milwaukee's doing. They're running from it. No surprise, we won't see them standing at the end. I think the NBA has done a phenomenal job with this play-in tournament. I love the fact that Sunday was as competitive as it was in a lot of different spots because we had more spots up for grabs. Teams trying to solidify their spot in the play-in, teams trying to solidify their seating within the play-in, teams trying to avoid the play-in. It made for some great theater. There's one step I'd go further, and this is not a novel suggestion. I don't want to make it seem like I created this idea because a lot of people are out there are suggesting it. I think the NBA should go one step further here, and I think the NBA should now, instead of seeding being determined by record, I think the top four seeds in each conference should be allowed to pick their opponent for the opening round of the playoffs. If you're the Boston Celtics, you can pick from anyone you want. Anyone. And then when you're the number two seed, the Knicks, they get to make the next selection as to who they're going to play. And then if you're the third seed, you make the selection as to who they play. Now, it might get sticky there because if the one seed says, you know what, I think the three is the most vulnerable, we'll go after them. Then you start to get fascinating, right? Then they're out of the equation. All that can be figured out down the line. But I think, number one, no one's going to be ducking games late in the season because there's literally nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. Ducking a game is not going to help you in any way, shape, or form. You are where you are, and if you don't control the selection, then you're at the whim of the team that wants to pick you. On top of it, think about the way you could generate revenue and interest from a TV standpoint. The NBA, for the longest time, has been trying to rip off stuff from the NFL. They all of a sudden want to make their draft a two-day event. Okay, go for it. The problem is we just don't know NBA prospects like we know NFL prospects. That's why it won't generate as much interest. The NFL schedule release is a phenomenal night for us. The NBA schedule release, the MLB schedule release, no one really cares. We care about the Christmas Day matchups, but no one really cares because it's an 82-game season, and that's understandable. You want something that's unique to you? Go ahead and create this draft. I'd be tuning in. You don't think I'd be sitting there on the edge of my seat waiting to see who Boston's going to pick in the opening round, waiting to see who Oklahoma City earning the one seed he's going to pick for their opening round matchup. Great theater, great money generator. I honestly don't see a downside to this.
Just to be clear on one logistical part of it.
Sure.
You could pick anybody below you. So, for instance,
of the eight, this is after the play-in is completed.
So it's not just the bottom four. It is you could pick anybody. For instance, if the team that was the second seed had just had a horrible injury and lost in one of their superstars, you could pick that team to play.
Absolutely. Okay. You, as the one seed, control your destiny. You have earned the right to pick your opponent. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't pick the two is now up. They get to pick who they want.
Right. I love this. I absolutely love this from a couple of perspectives. Number one, amazing television. Amazing television. Number two, creates extra storylines, right? Going into series, you're going to have those teams against an underdog that say, oh, you want us? Or you want us? Like, that will be a thing. It'll create more energy around early round series that there may not have been a whole lot of energy around. Like, we will look at... You know, let's just say in the early rounds, we're looking at the Celtics and the Hawks. Is anybody feeling amazing about that? No.
It's mostly your standard opening round matchup.
But if the Celtics pick the Hawks, like, there's a little extra juice there.
Yeah.
Just a little.
It's a slap in the face.
Yes, exactly. I think this idea is brilliant. I love it in every single way. I wish that you had come up with it so I could give you the credit for it.
It's okay.
But this has been something that has been talked about before when it comes to baseball. Now, remember, back in 2020, they were talking about the larger expansion of the playoffs, and we went back to double-check as to what that specifically would have been. Buster only tweeted this back in 2020. As part of a 16-team expanded playoff proposal, the 1, the 2, and the 3 in each league, the division winners, would pick their opponents among the other 5 teams with that selection show. Now, MLB only ended up expanding to 12, so they haven't done that, and it's baseball, so, you know, we're going to wait a little while before we decide to adapt.
Remember when baseball released that plan, people thought it was awesome, and then baseball went ahead and didn't follow through on it because people were interested in it.
I love it. You have a representative of each team talking about why they made the selection that they made.
There is a downside here, though, and you brought it up. I hadn't thought this out. If you're the 2 seed and you suffer an injury with like 3 games to play and you hold on to the 2 seed, you all of a sudden getting earmarked by Boston, that almost feels like it totally devalues everything you did for 82 games. Like, you worked hard for 82 games. You earned that 2 seed at the very least. Like, say the guy's going to be out 10 days to 2 weeks. That is something that a 2 seed versus a 7 could possibly withstand due to the seeding that they've earned. But because you're now vulnerable in this draft scenario, Boston drafts you number 1 and they eliminate you and you never get a chance to get your starter back. But it almost feels like that could be too punitive.
It's punitive, but it's more entertaining.
It is. I mean, it's
think about that.
You clearly have bloodthirst because that is bloodthirst right there, my friend.
Yes, let's turn this sucker into the Hunger Games. Honestly,
I'm okay for it. I found that to be an entertaining movie. I like the concept.
I still haven't seen
killing,
any of them.
I don't want anyone to necessarily be killed, but
that's
for Hollywood.
And I haven't seen any of them, so it's interesting that I would choose
that. And here we go with this again. Weren't you the one also recommending a burger in the top 5 without having ever eaten it?
Again, not top 5, just as an honorable mention.
Oh, that's right. It was the tied for, what was it? It was the tied for 5th?
You know me, my top 5 lists that have 12 have 12 things.
My top 5 burgers, number 7, and everyone's like, "Oh, number 7." Okay. So you never saw the Hunger Games, but you're advocating the scenario of it.
I want it to be bloodthirsty. You used the right word. I want it to be bloodthirsty, and there is the intrigue of that series of, "Oh, you don't think we can get it done without him?" Let's just say it was the Sixers and Embiid. Embiid went down. Celtics say, you know what, we'll take the Sixers. You think Tyrese Maxey isn't going to try to go nuts in that series?
No, he is. It just, that's the one thing I'm getting hung up on.
I know it's punitive.
It's very punitive. Like, if Embiid, if the Sixers are locked into the 2 seed and Embiid goes down with like a sprained foot and he's scheduled to miss 10 days And he could be back for the second round, and the Sixers have earned the right to try to win without him. But now they end up getting the Celtics because they were drafted there. That's a tough blow.
So you can't pick the two. If you're the one, you can't pick the two. You can pick anyone else.
No, I don't. You can't do it like that. It has to be the top four get to draft the bottom four, or it's the original version. I don't think you can just do the one can't pick two. Well, then let's create the scenario for the three seed. The three seed's locked in. They're right there. But they go ahead and lose their star with a few days to go. Now you're picking the three?
Yeah.
Like, that's unfair for them.
Three's not the two.
Yeah, and the two's not the one. Like, we can sit here and act like idiots all day with this, okay?
Yeah.
We're good at it. We're very good at it.
It's what we're based on.
It's kind of the whole foundation of what this show is
about. So why are you knocking it?
I don't know. I want to get this right. I feel like if it's presented the right way, it's something the NBA could do and it could be awesome.
But we
can't sit here and create a situation that has a bunch of bad loopholes.
Listen, I think we can agree on one thing. The concept itself is an excellent one and would add juice to an NBA event that they would kind of exclusively have. You know, I don't think that the NFL would ever go to that kind of a system.
No. The NFL sticks with what it's got. The NFL is too good. The NBA is a league that's looking for things to market. Like,
let's
go to
a two-day
draft.
Anybody.
I don't care about the second day of an NBA draft. I barely care outside of the top 10 picks as is.
No.
And quite frankly, this year I don't even know who the hell's in the draft.
Let's be clear. How many of the second-round picks in the NBA draft have you heard of?
Jokic.
Year to year. Exactly.
Draymond Green.
And you hadn't heard of them at the time.
No,
I'm talking about at the time that they were taken.
Yeah. I know, exactly. Like, this is something the NBA could do that would be cutting edge.
Yep.
And people would be into it. Like, again, the knock, though, we got to straighten this thing out, though. We got to straighten out if you're going to be allowed to pick from anyone. It feels too punitive. I can get behind a blood sport. Like, I'm a big fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme. I can get behind blood sport here.
Let's turn this into the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. It's the progressive NBA snapshot we're talking about. And you have a chance to bundle your home and auto and save if you visit progressive.com. Who are the biggest winners and losers of the final day of the season? We'll tell you next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including on TuneIn. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
The 2024 NBA Play-In Tournament.
It's win or go home. That's what the play-in is all about.
Going straight to the rack.
You gotta win to get in. Let's get it.
Beats the buzzer with a three.
The Warriors at the Kings. Tomorrow at 9:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This got a Game 7 feel.
Presented by Indeed.
That one's got some intrigue to it. You know, right down the road. Sacramento, Golden State.
Sacramento, I think we would call this a disappointing season after what happened last year. But they have a chance to kind of regroup here if they can. Personally, I don't know that they're going to be able to, but I like the idea of having these play-in games. Like, the league has taken the right step forward in doing this for the last few years. I think what we were just talking about is the next step.
Well, the thing with the Kings is they had some bad injuries down the stretch. Like, that's what's hurting them here. Yep. I would love to sit here. I thought they were such a great story.
I'm not killing them. Don't get me wrong.
It's just I'm trying to give it proper context that it's not like they like fell apart as a bad basketball team down the stretch. They got drilled with some injuries, and they kind of just are where they are. They got a chance to knock Golden State out. I'll tell you, they've been little brother to the Warriors for a decade. They have been on the wrong end of way too many historical Golden State performances. Game 7 last year when they had a chance to take the Warriors out. Everybody on both sides in that game stunk except for Steph, who dropped 50-plus to knock the Kings out of the playoffs. Klay Thompson's famous, 35-point quarter, whatever it was, that was against Sacramento. The Kings have been on the wrong end of so many brutal left hooks from the Warriors. This would just be a nice little piece for them to kick the Warriors out of the playoffs, but I'm like you. I don't see that happening.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, on your smart speakers. If you're not following us on social, well, then what are you doing? You should do it. At Carlin versus Joe on X, as well as at Chris Carlin, at Joe Fortenbaugh. Who are the biggest winners and losers of the final day of the NBA season? Because there was so much going into yesterday. I really feel like, in terms of the jockeying, the positioning, all of it, the Milwaukee Bucks were a big winner yesterday.
Milwaukee Bucks?
Yep. Now, there is a little bit of juice to the Milwaukee Pacers series. Evan, I want to hear from Doc Rivers on that in a minute, by the way. The idea that these two teams, there's not a lot of love lost there. They've had a couple of little skirmishes here and there. And the Pacers have actually handled it pretty well. But, like, for instance, I have jumped off the Bucks bandwagon that I was occupying early in the season, and I was off a little bit after Christmas, and I have been disappointed since with what we've seen. But here's Doc on playing the Pacers in the first round, Joe.
Indiana has had our number all year, right? So, perfect opponent. You know, listen, we got to play somebody, and they're tough. They've played great against us. They have probably great confidence against us. We'll have great focus because we're going to have to.
Tyrese Halliburton was talking about it on Woj's pod as well this week that, you know, hey, playing the Bucks is good for us because, yeah, there's a little extracurricular to it, but we do have a lot of confidence against them. I think the Bucks are so much better off than facing the Sixers in a round one. Even if they had to deal with the Heat, Joe, that just from a grinder standpoint that the Heat would have put them in.
Yeah, I think it's good news for the Bucks too. Hopefully the Celtics can suffer a series of significant injuries so that their season can be derailed. Hopefully somehow Philadelphia maybe loses to Miami and then Miami suffers injuries. If everybody quits and or gets hurt, maybe, just maybe, it'll all work out for the Bucks, because stepping up and actually beating the best competition, clearly not something they're interested in.
You did a nice job of selling that, because at the very beginning I thought, oh, maybe he's changed his mind.
No, they're chicken you know what. That's what they are. They're chicken crap, that franchise, for what they're doing, and they're going to end up getting theirs exactly like everyone expects. Big winner for me yesterday, the Denver Nuggets. I had my loser all queued up. I forgot that I was supposed to give a winner as well. Denver Nuggets, everything worked out great. What was it, Friday night? They lost to San Antonio. Inexplicably lose to the Spurs as a monster favorite and jeopardize the number one seed for the playoffs. And instead of it breaking poorly for them, they end up sliding into the two seed. The opening round matchup is going to set them up quite nicely. And overall, if you're the defending champs, you got a nice path. It's not like you were aiming for that because you ended up losing that game out of nowhere and you were competing for the one seed. But I think for Denver, the way it all shakes down right now, very nice for them. Very nice. Listen, this is part of what it's about when you're winning championships. You got to be good. You got to be buttoned up. You got to be focused. But every now and again, you got to be able to catch a break. And I think Denver caught themselves a nice break here. They got a great draw all the way through.
Yeah, I also think that Denver probably doesn't care all that much. Like, they strike me right now as a team that you could say, put anybody in front of them and they'll be fine.
Yeah.
And now you can have better matchups than others, no doubt. Biggest loser for me is what I'm going to go back to from the beginning of the show. I think the Knicks are the biggest loser here. And it's for a couple of things, okay? Number one, you didn't need yesterday. Winning yesterday hurt you. There's no getting around that. Winning yesterday hurt you. The Knicks against the Pacers is a much better matchup than the Knicks against the Sixers. That's number one. Number two, I understand they've got a week off here, okay? I'm looking at Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson has averaged nearly 40 minutes over the last 3 weeks. What are we doing? What are we doing? They won five in a row to close out the regular season, and I salute them for their desire to win every single game, but there's a reason that Tom Thibodeau has been to the conference finals once as a head coach, and that in and of itself was in, I believe, in his second year as a head coach.
50 wins, number two seed in the Eastern Conference, lost Julius Randle for the season, kept winning games, kept fighting, kept showing that grit, and they're your biggest losers, huh?
And they will be on the golf course by the middle of May.
So help me out with something. They completely avoid Boston all the way up until the conference finals. Isn't that good for something?
If they were to make it past the first round,
that's right,
yes.
Because they didn't duck the opening round opponent, but because they earned the right to avoid the best team, we're not going to focus on that. We're not going to focus on, great job, Knicks. You did everything you needed to do. Your reward is that you don't have to deal with Boston in the conference finals. You screwed up because you have to deal with one of the play-in teams. By the way, a notorious postseason loser in Philadelphia. That's where we're all getting shook up.
One of the play-in teams that is 31-8 with Joel Embiid on the court, and the reason they're a play-in team is because he missed as much time as he did.
How successful have the Sixers been in the playoffs with Joel Embiid? Since we're talking about the playoffs now.
I understand.
No, I'm not looking for an answer. I'm not looking for an I understand. How successful have they been?
Not as successful as they should have been.
Yeah, they've been terrible. They haven't gotten past the second round. It's kind of weird. Half the league
has gotten
past the
second round. One of them is a little fluky, if we're going to be honest.
Which one's that?
The one where Kawhi Leonard hit a big shot from the corner.
Yeah, where a great player hit a big shot.
A fortuitous bounce.
It's unfortunate that great player hit a big shot in a big situation. We've never seen that in pro sports before. It's not like Patrick Mahomes leading a team down the field to win a Super Bowl in overtime or anything like that. So it's kind of weird how great players get lucky in great spots, how that works out. Biggest loser for me would be the Minnesota Timberwolves. That did not go well at the end of the season. Phoenix absolutely boat raced you. And on one hand, you had an opportunity to be the number one seed in the Western Conference, home court advantage all the way throughout, and you'd get to avoid Denver because you earned it. Instead, you get blown out in that game by Phoenix. You're not going to have home court throughout the playoffs. You slide down to the three seed, and you get an opening round matchup against Phoenix, who just blew the doors off you and gave you problems all year during the regular season. All year. So I think we're talking about the second greatest regular season in Minnesota Timberwolves franchise history, and it could all go up in smoke right here because of how things ended up breaking by losing that game yesterday. So ultimately, I think that was a bad situation for Minnesota. They still bring the league's best defense to the table in the playoffs. They can still absolutely win that series, but they are an underdog in the eyes of Vegas in this series against the Phoenix Suns.
You know what I enjoy is when true experts validate my opinion. And I expect that we're going to have that here in the next few minutes. Why? Because Tim Legler is going to join us. Last year, two teams went from the play-in to the conference final. Is anyone capable of doing that this year? That is after I have this from Granger Joseph. I cannot wait to ask him about our other proposed NBA playoff selection show. I want to get into that. Listen. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest question. Grainger was actually an answer on Jeopardy the other night to one of the hardest questions that there was on the board, and I had it. Locked it down. Why? I know Grainger. I know their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe. More importantly, your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You know, this is Carlin Staple. That's what this is. This is a Carlin Staple on the old iPhone. That's right. How would you not listen to this and not think of me?
I've never actually listened to the words.
Okay, well.
So you're going to have to take me through that, but I can agree.
Getting on my Pirellis and rolling, that's all. Carlin versus Joe. ESPN Radio. I'm a bridge man myself, and the sandwich I just had to bridge me to the afternoon is top-notch. I need a strong bridge of the day, Joe. I need to feel good going into the second half of the day, and I just had a nice chicken wrap, and I'll tell you what, you over the next 90 minutes are getting the best out of me, and you are welcome, and you can thank that chicken wrap.
Well, that's good to hear. Why do you have to call it a bridge? Isn't that just what lunch is? Can't you just say I had lunch?
It doesn't even necessarily have to be a meal. I need something middle of the day to bridge me to the rest of the afternoon to get me off to a good start.
That you're defining lunch. You need something to eat in the middle of the day to keep you going. That is what lunch is.
Doesn't have to be something to eat. Could be something else, too. Could be a little jolt of energy. I like to think of it like I'm...
What else is a jolt of energy?
Couldn't be anything. Just, you know, hearing something nice from somebody, getting a compliment, something that's going to pump me up for the day. Now, am I going to deny that?
So just to be clear, you have breakfast, and then you're getting a little low on energy around 12:30. Someone pays you a compliment, and now you have energy all the way to dinner.
Send me flying. Absolutely.
All right.
Why? Why do you have to have that tone?
I think you got caught up in the idea that I was like, yeah, you're just defining lunch. And then you were like, I'm going to show him. And then you use the example of a compliment. And it's now you're caught in that. And it's like, just admit you were defining lunch and we can all move forward amicably.
Listen, it's not. I know you want to just look at me and define me in one way. And that's fat.
No, that is not
food,
true, sir.
Boy. No. Listen, it's okay. You don't have to say it. I'll speak what everybody's thinking. I will tell you what everybody's thinking. Just get in there, make me chuckle, fatty. Do your fat little monkey dance and let's go. I'm just telling you the things that are important in my life. Dear God, if I got to hear about one more mindset book that you're reading, enough. Me? I'm a simple man. Bridge me. Middle of the day into the afternoon. Let's roll. That's it.
Guys,
and today it's the chicken wrap.
Next time he's in town, let's make sure he's not allowed to eat all day, but let's just pay him compliments and let's see how far it goes before he loses his mind.
Now you're being ridiculous. Speaking of which, I tell you what, this was an amazing moment from the weekend. Amazing moment from the weekend. Rockets are playing the Clippers yesterday. Late second half, there's nobody on the floor, okay? Nobody of consequence on the floor for either team. Boban Marjanovic is on the floor. And we love Boban. I mean,
he's a person of consequence.
Yes. Well, but he's also in commercials. Like, he has a healthy sense of humor about himself in being Boban, right?
Yes.
So he misses the first free throw at the free throw line.
Fans are getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to you. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
Oh, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
You think he did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
Win the crowd, and you'll win your freedom.
So just to be clear, Boban misses the first free throw. The crowd gets free Chick-fil-A. I think the Nuggets, if Boban misses both free throws, if a visiting player misses two free throws, he realizes what's going on. He points up at the crowd. Oh, you want chicken? He points at himself. I got you. I got you. And that's on the road. That's on the road. And he misses it, and he missed it in such beautiful form. And then he's the people's champion. Best part about that, that announcer sounded like Jim Ross, like somebody was just about to make a devastating move on someone else.
That is incredible. That's it. So what the promotion is, at any point in a game, if a yep. visiting player misses back-to-back free throws at the line, not like you miss the second end and you come back later and miss the front end. You have to miss both
right.
free
you
throws.
You have to miss both free throws in one trip.
Free Chick-fil-A for everyone in attendance. So you probably show the ticket stub and you get your free Chick-fil-A.
Yep.
And he misses the first free throw, and then it's brought to his attention that if he somehow misses the second one, they're all getting free chicken.
And it was brought to his attention because the crowd really started to amp up. You know, like
and he's thinking to himself, why is everyone all fired up? This game is completely meaningless. I'm in the game.
And then he kind of figured it out. Like, oh, you get something out of this? The Boban has got you. Like, Boban is somebody that should talk about himself in the third person. And call himself the Boban.
We'd be okay with that. This is like in the movie Semi-Pro, where at the end of the game, the Flint Tropics are up big, and Monix is telling them, Monix is Ed Monix, the player, the character played by Woody Harrelson. He's talking about taking it to him, and Jackie Moon, Will Ferrell, looks at him and goes, yeah, we got to take it to him, but not by too much. And he looks up and he goes, what are you talking about? And someone goes, corn dogs. And he goes, what, corn dogs? He goes, yeah, if we score, I think the bid is like if we score 130 points in every game, everyone gets free corn dogs. And Jackie Moon's like, I hate to break it to you, Monix. We don't even have corn dogs. And Monix goes, I don't care. We're taking it to them. It's all about mindset, right? They're going to just keep going no matter what. So they go out. Jackie Moon tries to foul Monix at the end of the game, but the shot goes up. The shot goes in. Everyone starts celebrating the free corn dogs, and then Ferrell sprints out of the building because he doesn't have any free corn dogs to pay him off with.
Will Ferrell being part being owner of the team.
Owner, player, coach.
It was actually Vukaitis who he tackled.
Vukaitis ends up making, was it the free throw or Vukaitis just puts up a jumper at the end?
It was just a nice two-pointer layup.
He didn't speak English. He doesn't understand.
Learn English,
that's right.
Vukaitis.
Learn English, expletive.
See? So once again, that winning mindset of yours screws you over and they end up in a worse situation. If we can't learn from, what is it? What's the name of the movie? Semi-Pro?
Semi-Pro.
I was called the Tropic Thunder.
Well, because they're the Flint Tropics.
Right.
So that's a natural, yeah.
Exactly. But if you can't learn from them, where are you going to learn? Mindset, turns out, not all that important. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. God bless Boban. If Boban
Huge.
Got me, if I was in that crowd and Boban got me some free Chick-fil-A, he immediately becomes my favorite player in the league.
Oh,
he doesn't have to play a minute ever again.
Just
he's in my home.
The idea that you knew to do that. You did that specifically for the fans. You see, it's like give the people what they want. It's not that hard. Some people overthink business all the time in terms of what's best for everyone. Just listen. Listen to your customers. What do your customers want? In this case, they want free chicken. Miss a free throw. No one's going to remember the missed free throw. They're going to remember the chicken.
Can I hear the highlight one more time? Because I just love the way that they are describing it. Like, as a play-by-play announcer, Joe, you're supposed to paint the picture. This guy paints the picture brilliantly of what's going on.
Fans are getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to you. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
Oh, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
You think he did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
Win the crowd, and you'll win your freedom.
He goes number one to the air after he misses the free throw as well.
Exactly.
As the free throw misses, he puts up the number one and starts running back on defense.
You know what he should have done? The Jordan shrug.
Or the Swaggy P. He should have put the free throw up and then turned around and did like the little dance like Swaggy P when he thought he made that three. And in the background, it like rims out.
Oh, it was so great. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Some people get it. Some people get it. And Boban gets it. Joseph, we have been doling out little draft nuggets. And we've got one about the New York Jets that I think you'll find very intriguing about a decision they have to make. We'll get into it next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Score, Lakers 124, Pelicans 108. The Lakers earn the 8th seed and will play here Tuesday.
The chess game has been ignited. You know, we're all for it.
Play-in starting up next couple of days, then the playoffs in the NBA. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Legler, as in Tim, ESPN NBA analyst, joining us right now. Tim, as always, we appreciate the time. Let's start right in here, though. Joe and I have been arguing all day about this. Did the Knicks do the right thing by playing out as hard as they did and earning the second seed, or would they have been better served to maybe not treat yesterday with as much importance and end up in the third seed based on matchups?
Well, here's how I view it. I think they did the right thing because I think that's always the right thing. You play hard, you play to win, and you let the chips fall where they may, and you don't duck and dodge and worry about that kind of thing. I think that's the right mentality. It just so happens, though, it didn't work out in an advantageous manner for them. It didn't. I mean, look, I personally think the Pacers – are going to be a really tough out, and I actually think they have a good chance of beating Milwaukee. So if you ended up getting the Indiana Pacers as a 3 seed and you host the Pacers, you know, I think the Knicks would be favored to win the series. That wouldn't be an easy series, but certainly I don't think would represent what potentially Philly could be or Miami could be in a 7-game series.
All right, so let's visit this one as well. Denver locks up the 2 seed in the Western Conference. The winner of the 7-8 matchup in the play-in is going to end up drawing Denver in the opening round. Greeny suggested this morning that the Lakers should sit their stars in their matchup against New Orleans tomorrow night and lose that game intentionally so that they can go on and hopefully win the next play-in game and avoid the Denver Nuggets. How do you feel about that mindset?
Yeah, I actually think this is a different, little bit of a different scenario, but here's why. If you're the Knicks, it actually would make almost a little bit more sense if you manipulated it in some way. Just from the standpoint, you knew you were going to be playing in a 7-game series. Like, you made the playoffs. You're in. In the case with the Lakers, yeah, I understand. Like, why would you want to play Denver right away if you could play the Thunder? The problem is, if you go into that mindset and you intentionally lose that game by resting guys, whatever you want to do, you've now put your entire chances at playing in a best of seven on one game. And that one game could be against the Golden State Warriors potentially, who have really played well against the Lakers all year, you might now run the risk of, hey, a guy has foul trouble that night. Maybe AD rolls an ankle. Somebody has a horrible shooting night, you know, one of their three-point shooters, and boom, you're going home. You didn't even get to a best of seven. So that's the problem in that situation, as opposed to you're just trying to control seeding, two, three seeds or three seeds. You know you're playing somebody in a best of seven. That's not the case with the Lakers. Like, you've got to get out of the play-in, and you really run a risk if you put it down to one game.
Carlin versus Joe, it's Tim Legler joining us, ESPN NBA analyst, who has just remarkably disappointed me by disagreeing with me on the Knicks scenario, but you kind of, you know, you made up for it there with the whole Lakers scenario, so I guess it's all right. Because more than anything else, it's more important for me to be right than, you know, actually communicating information.
Of course. We're all in that boat, right.
What series are you looking forward to the most right now as it's set?
It's definitely Mavs-Clippers. I think that's the one that's got an awful lot of intrigue. I think you got a lot of star power in that and a lot of pressure on the principal components in that series. I've been very high on Dallas for the last couple of months. They're playing great going in. Kyrie looks great. I think Luka is an unstoppable force. I think he's going to be sensational. There's a lot of pressure on that core group from the Clippers between Kawhi and Harden and Paul George and Westbrook. That, to me, has the makings of being the most compelling series in the first round and maybe the most drama in the first series. And ultimately, I think Dallas wins that series and sends the Clippers home.
And Kawhi's a little bit banged up with the knee. But, Tim, I got to ask you this question. With Dallas, we have seen the defense improve over the last several weeks. How much am I supposed to buy into that as opposed to what we've seen the entire rest of the year with this team defensively?
I actually think it's something you should buy into a lot because, look, this is a pretty large sample size. The metrics are there, and I think the what they're getting the most out of now, the rotation has been figured out. The boost that they're getting from P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford, the new acquisitions, are significant defensively. I actually have seen greater effort out of Luka Doncic over the last couple of months than I did earlier in the year when it probably, you know, long season, some superstars don't really, you know, give you everything to have on that end. Luka's always been one of those guys. I think he's playing harder defensively as well. So I think whatever they're doing, and I'm sure their scheme plays into it, to give the coaching staff some credit, I don't think it's like some fluky thing. The numbers don't lie in their case because it's been a dramatic turnaround, and it's been over a large number of games to let you know that, like, they're not just going to try to outscore you, which is never going to be a formula that's going to work in the playoffs. You've got to be able to get stops because there's going to be nights you don't shoot well. Dallas is more likely to do that now than they were earlier in the year. There's no doubt about it.
Legs, Minnesota spent a good portion of the year as the one seed in the Western Conference. It falls apart at the end. They draw the three seed, and they get a matchup in the opening round with the Suns team that just roasted them. The Suns have proven to be a very tough matchup for Minnesota. How do you see that first round series playing out?
Yeah, they have been. It's really unfortunate probably for Minnesota. Listen, it wasn't going to be easy no matter who you got if you're at the top of the West because it's a weird situation. You've got these loaded teams in terms of star talent that are in the bottom half of the conference. So no matter where you ended up, there was a chance you were going to get somebody with superstar talent at the top of the roster and also is playing well, which Phoenix is, the best they've played since they put this group together, and have played well against you specifically. That's a bad scenario for Minnesota. And look, I don't. That's the one I just got done talking about. That's the hardest series for me to predict, more than any of them. I could go through all eight of the first round series when we finally get those, and I'm pretty definitive on who I think is going to win it. That is a tough one for me because it comes down to how much do you buy into Minnesota's defense and size and their ability to impose a certain style on Phoenix and to be able to manage, you know, those clutch moments well with Anthony, who hasn't been through a lot of playoff experience, versus that group of offensive firepower for the Phoenix Suns. That's what you're trying to weigh in your mind. And also, by the way, Karl Anthony Towns being injected back into the situation here right before the playoffs start. So it's a hard one for me to pick, but ultimately, no matter who you got, if you're Minnesota, it was not going to be an easy road. You could have gotten Dallas. You could have gotten the Clippers. You could have gotten any team with multiple superstars on it. And so Minnesota's going to have a tough road regardless.
Tim Legler with us, ESPN NBA analyst. We've got about a minute left, Tim. Quick thoughts on this proposal from Joe earlier, that the NBA maybe in the future considers a scenario where the top four seeds get to pick who they would play in the first round of the playoffs, make a whole TV show out of it, create more drama around it. What do you think?
I don't like it. I don't like it. And I went over this, like playing it out hypothetically. Let's say we did that this year in the Eastern Conference. And I'm assuming you're saying you pick in order of how you finish. So Boston would get the first pick.
Right.
So on down the line. Well, then let's get to look at the 4-5. If you're Cleveland, you finish fourth, you're supposed to play the Orlando Magic. You'd love to play the Orlando Magic, considering some other opportunities of who you could play in the East. But based on the scenario we're describing, by the time you got there, I got news for you. You know who they're going to end up playing? Probably Philadelphia. Like, that would be your reward for finishing fourth. You now get stuck with the Sixers because none of the other three teams would pick them, certainly, to play in the first round. So I think somebody's going to get shafted one way or another if you do it that way.
Tim, you just ruined our day collectively. Thanks very much.
Appreciate it anytime. That's what I'm here for.
We have absolutely no NBA knowledge.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.